Translation: the 50 qualities of Lord Krishna were all present in his body. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna are mentioned. Among these 50 are primary, ayam nita sudham yangaha, etc. And in minute quality, they were all present in the body of Sri Haridas Pandit. Since every living entity is a part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all 50 of these good qualities of Sri Krishna are originally minutely present in every living being. Due to his contact with material nature, these qualities are not visible in the conditioned soul. But when one becomes purified, when one becomes a purified devotee, they automatically manifest themselves. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, as mentioned in the text below. Om Gyanam Dinam Dasya Gyanam Gyanam Salakaya Chakshurimitam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Maham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nevishesha Shandavari Pasthati Satarini. Here we're starting this, how the we're talking about Vrindavan Das Thakur, and then he was the author of Sri Chaitanya Mangala, it became Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Originally it was Sri Chaitanya Mangala, and it became Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat because Lochan Das Thakur also wrote a work on Lord Chaitanya, also called Chaitanya Mangala. So he changed the name to Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he mainly explained in that book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, a very wonderful book about the earlier pastimes of Lord Chaitanya up until he took sannyas. So the and Krishnadas in Chaitanya Tamrita, he elaborated on the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And the Chaitanya Chaitamrita is very philosophical, where the Chaitanya Bhagavat is mainly just Leela. Srila Prabhupada asked, what should I translate first, Chaitanya Chaitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat? So somebody said, Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then someone else said, Chaitanya Chaitamrita. He said, I didn't even know I never heard of Chaitanya. But just to be different. So Prabhupada translated this first. It's very very deep philosophy in Chaitanya Chaitamrita. And the Chaitanya Bhagavat is more or less describing the Lord's activities, and it's all about he's dealing with his devotees, chanting, dancing, taking prasad, and falling unconscious. That's the main, in ecstasy, that's the main theme of the book. Every other page, practically. It's a very wonderful book. it also mentioned in the previous sloka about he was the son of the illustrious Narayani, great devotee of the Lord, who used to get Lord Chaitanya's remnants. And maybe you can tell a story about her, because it wasn't mentioned yesterday. She was a niece of Shivas Thakur, who lived there in Mayapur. And later on, I think when she got married, then she moved to the other side of the river. And I forget the name of the island. but where the house of Vrindavan Das Thakur is. Can anyone remember the island? Yeah, the name of the island? It's nearby. Madhu. Thank you. It's nearby. We go there on the parikram to Vrindavan Thakur's, Das Thakur's house. there's a very famous story of when Lord Chaitanya used to have the nocturnal kirtans. They would close the gates from the premises, and only the devotees could come inside, only the pure Vaishnavas. And so other people were trying to come in, and they were disappointed, some of them, because they couldn't get in. It was only like exclusive for the devotees. Because then Mahaprabhu used to reveal his divinity. So it was a very exclusive audience there. So some people were very sad that they couldn't hear, and some people were a little envious also, some of the brahmanas. And they began to criticize, you know, why they're not letting everyone in. Just here all night, they're having these roshas kirtans so loud. They probably got some good wine inside, the way they, it sounds like they're having a real party in there. And the envious people became a little more envious. So they thought, anyway, if he continues this loud chanting, because it was a new thing, a new concept in those days, the Sankirtan movement really only started in a big way in Bengal, anyway, with the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. He actually inaugurated it. And so they thought, if the Qazi hears it, he's the Muslim that was under Muslim rule that time, 500 years ago, and the chief magistrate, Qazi, his name, Qazi means like pundit, and he was in charge, and he lived nearby. He lived in what is now called Bamanpukur, which is about a couple of kilometers away from that Srivast Thakur's house, which is very close to Lord Chaitanya's house. They thought, if they continue like this, then the Qazi will hear it. He'll get annoyed. What's going on? And then he'll come and punish them, and he'll punish all of us. So before that happens, we should tear his house down and throw it in the Ganga. They were talking like this, things like this. Anyway, at least we should let's go and complain to the Qazi. At least we'll save our skins. If they do decide to do something, at least we then know we're innocent. It's not us, it's Nimai. So they went to complain. They said that Nimai, he was a good boy before he met those Vaishnavas. He's a very, very good scholar and very bright boy, but the association with those Vaishnavas, they spoiled him. They become like they're doing these crazy things, like chanting the name of the Lord loudly during Chatur Mass. The Lord is sleeping. They don't know they're going to disturb him. What scripture they're getting it from, we don't know. They're inventing all these, concocting all these new things for the Hindu religion. It should be stopped. We're against it. Okay, we're not with him. So then there was a rumor that they actually sent some police there, and so during the kirtan one evening, Lord Chaitanya stopped, and he was saying that this is I'm not feeling the usual ecstasy tonight. I think something's wrong, something in the atmosphere, not quite right here. And this is Srivast Thakur's house. So Shiva said, no problem. How can anything be wrong with you here? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's a super soul, he knows everything. He says, I know that you are in anxiety about me. You think that you've been told that there's a boatload of soldiers coming to, and you're fearful that they will come and arrest me. He said, well, what can they do to me? I'm the Supreme Lord. How can they? I'll just tell them, when they come over, I'll just tell them, I'm the super soul in their heart, I'll tell them, get back in the boat and go back. If they don't listen to my instruction, which indicates that we do have our independence, so even if the Lord inspires us to do something, sometimes when Maya comes into view, and then the mind says, oh yeah. And then the intelligence, inspired by the super, says, no, no. And the mind says, oh yeah. And the intelligence says, no. And the mind says, be quiet. Right? And that, so we have our independence. So even if the Lord inspires, you may not. He doesn't interfere with our actual freedom, independence. And he said, even if they don't listen, I will be the first one to step on the boat and say, yes, yes, take me to the Qazi. Then we will challenge the Qazi. You bring all of your mullahs here, your priests, and let them, and bring all the animals in your palace, bring the horses and the elephants and your birds, peacocks, etc. And you get the mullahs to chant from the Quran, and you get them to chant in such a way that will induce these animals to dance and cry in ecstasy. So of course they won't be able to do it. He said, then we will start kirtan, and then all the animals will dance and cry in ecstasy. And everyone said, okay, right. He said, you don't believe me? Then he indicated that Srivas's niece, Naraini, the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, she was 4 or 5 years old then. He said, Naraini, he said, chant Krishna's name and dance in ecstasy. So then she began to utter Krishna's name. After the first time, she became so choked up with ecstatic emotion, she could hardly chant Krishna fully. It was like, Krishna, she was trying to get Krishna out, and she was staggering and falling, and her tears were pouring from her eyes, and her hairs were standing on end, and she was trembling. And seeing that ecstatic symptoms, everyone else became ecstatic. And then Lord Chaitanya said, now, you believe me? He says, why, I've come to protect my devotees. Right? I come here, I come to protect my devotees. I'm here personally with you, and you're fearful. He said, no, give up that mentality. You have no fear. So she used to get eat the remnants of Lord Chaitanya. So Vrindavan Das Thakur was her progeny. Then Vrindavan Das is describing, he's talking about Haridas Pandit, who was a priest in the Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan. I doubt that was a very opulent, wonderful temple that was built there by the Goswamis. And not so much is known about him, but today happens to be the appearance of Gangamata Goswamini, she was a disciple of this Haridas Pandit. And she was an amazing lady. She was actually a princess, a daughter of a Zamadar. Because those times it was like the landlords were called, their own king, like kings, king, they had a small kingdom. So she was more or less a prince. Her name was Sachi. And she went to Vrindavan, and by Haridas's association, his preaching, she became a great Vaishnavi. And she became initiated by him. And he told her to go to... He wasn't initiated at first. He said, you're a princess, and you won't be able to live in Vrindavan. Vrindavan wasn't like it is today. Loi Bazaar, it's a jungle, more or less. You won't be able to manage this, but she became very austere. She gave up all her opulent clothes, and began to chant a lot of rounds. In 3 lakhs a day, she was chanting. And he was very impressed. And he gave her initiation. He told her to go to Radha Kunda. And then he had another disciple. I think her name was Lakshmi Priya. And she was also very renounced. This is chant 3 lakhs a day there. Later on, he sent her to Puri. And she stayed in the house of... who was the king's pandit there? Savabhuna Bhattacharya. He had already left by that time. And she stayed in his house. It was kind of run down. She did some. It's still run down. Actually, the whole place was crumbling if you go there. But just now they're actually doing some substantial renovation with stone and things like that. Because Mahaprabhu stayed there also, Gambira. So one day, and she became quite famous there. But she used to recite Srimad Bhagavatam, and people would come and see her. Even the king would come. She would have a curtain in front of her while she was speaking Bhagavatam, because that was the custom of, well, that was the, because they're very chaste ladies and generally they wouldn't appear in public like that. So in other words, the ladies would be in the room and the men would be somewhere else. It says they used to put a curtain in front of it. And one day somebody bought a deity for her. I can't remember the name of that deity. Something like Duncan Roy or something. A Brahmin came from somewhere, Jaipur, or somewhere. He gave her this deity. He said, my deity, he told me that he wants to accept your service. So I brought him here for him. And she said, I can't worship a deity. I haven't got anything. She's just probably doing madhukari. So I can't keep a deity. I don't have any facility. I'm sorry, I can't accept it. But he said, no, the deity wants to accept your services. I'm sorry, and I can't do it. So then the brahmana, he left the deity in her garden under the tulsi trees. So at night time, Sachi heard a voice saying, "You want to kill your son?" What is that? I'm out here under the bush, being neglected. So then she had no choice. She had to take the deity in. So that became a very famous deity. Then there was, she had kind of taken a Ketra sannyas, that she would never leave the Dham, Puri. And I don't know what occasion it was, whether it was Ganga Puja or Purnima or... Anyway, it's a special occasion when they take bath in the Ganga. So they all of her friends and a lot of devotees, they went to Navadvip to take bath in the Ganga. Because mostly the Gaudis, they're Bengali. Still today, in that area of Puri, that's called the Bengali area, by the Swagadar, that side of Puri, it's all Bengali. But she considered, no, I've taken Ketra Sannyas. But at night she was actually laying down, going to sleep, and she was just thinking about all the devotees and all her friends who had been enjoying, you know, taking bath in Navadvip, taking in the Ganga. And suddenly the water from her well, it started to rise, and the water was coming flooding in the room, and it took her down the road and into somewhere other, into Jagannath's temple. And there she saw Navadvip was manifest, which is all the associates were there, and they're all taking bath and chanting Hari Bol, and it was a festival. And then the pandas heard from outside. The temple was closed by that time. They heard some strange sounds, and you know, what's going on? So then they called the king, and they just open the doors. And when they went in there, they found this Sachi Devi there. What are you doing? You've hidden yourself at night, saying so you can come and steal the deity's jewelry. Then they took her and locked her up. And then Lord Jagannath came into the dream, the mind of the king, and said, "You've made a very big offense here. She's my pure devotee. Now you should go and take initiation from her." And all the pandas, all those, they should also go and take initiation from her. So he did that. So because of that incident, she got the name of Gangamati Goswamini. So today's her appearance day, I believe. And today is also the disappearance day of Baladevi Vibhushan. It's also the appearance of Ganga Devi, the Ganges River. Baladev dedicates the Bhagavad Gita to Baladev Vidyabhushan for his commentary on Danta Sutra. Oh, Govinda Bhasha. That's a very interesting story. That at that particular time, Radha Krishna worship, at least in the mood of the higher three exchanges of Shakya, Vatsala, and Madhurya, it really wasn't known, Radha Krishna worship. But when after Lord Chaitanya, or just before Lord Chaitanya started, came, then it was coming manifest that Radha Krishna worship. And they had the king of Jaipur. He was also attached to his Govinda ji. They had a Radharani also. Now the local Brahmins and the authority, they were Ramanandis from the Ramanandi sect. So they said, they made a complaint. How come? What is Radharani doing on the altar? And which scripture is it mentioned that with Radharani and Krishna? Because we know Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't actually mention Srimati Radharani's name. Where is it coming from? And they couldn't get a good reply. So they more or less told the king that he'll have to take Radharani away. It wasn't bona fide. And I think they did. Actually took the Radharani away from Krishna. So the king was a great devotee, so he's really upset. So he asked that the devotees from Vrindavan should come and answer this question, because nobody could answer that. At that time was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was a leading Gaudiya Vaishnava. But he was very old. he said, I can't go, but he sent his disciple Baladev Vidyabhushan, who's I think disappearance stated it. So Baladev began the debate, went there to debate with these pandits, and they said, first of all, what is your sampradaya? How can we debate with you? What is your sampradaya? Because there's a standard of debate. It's not that, you know, not like the internet. You know, they're qualifying. Just like the if you want to debate with the Shankaracharyas, the sannyasis and Shankaracharya, they'll say take sannyas first, and then we'll talk. Yeah. Just show you're serious. You take sannyas, and then we'll speak. You know? That's their standard. So they were asking, what is your bhasha? Where's your commentary on Vedanta Sutra? Because all of the sampradayas, they have this commentary on Vedanta Sutra. We didn't have one. Gaudiyas didn't have one. And they said, Mahaprabhu, he said, our commentary, a natural commentary, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no need of an extra commentary. The Srimad Bhagavatam, it's 18,000, but, and it's a complete commentary, elaboration on the Vedanta Sutra. It contains the essence of the Vedanta Sutra. And that they wouldn't accept it. They said, no, everyone has a bhashya. All the sampradayas. So they wouldn't, so that was the argument stopped there. And unless you have a bhashya, there's no further talk. So he said, okay, well, I will get one. I said, okay, we'll give you 7 days. So then he went away and he thought, what to do? What to do? We don't have one. Then he went to Govindaji temple. And he prayed, Govinda, I've stuck my neck out. You know, I said we'll offer a commentary, but we don't actually have one. What to do? Please help us. So Govinda, they said to him, I will give you. Don't worry. I'll tell you what to write. Jai Sisiradha Govindanta Ki Jai. Sri Ramakrishna Ki Jai. And then, so the deity actually dictated to Baladev, and he took it all down. And then he returned again for the debate, and he said, we have our basha. He said, what? Where did you get this basha from? He said, Govinda. Yeah, okay. who can argue? So let's see. Then the debate began, and he soundly defeated all their arguments and convinced them of the superiority of Radha Krishna worship, the super excellence of Radha Krishna worship. And they were so impressed, they wanted to take initiation from him. But he said, no, you're already initiated in a bona fide sampradaya. So he saved Radharani from being taken away from Krishna in Jaipur. And he gave that, and by his grace we have that. He's Govinda Basha. But look, we accept that the Srimad Bhagavatam is enough. It's everything. Nothing is missing in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the illustrious people appear today. Then here we're talking about anyway, he's talking about the gorgeous worship of Radha Govindaji then. Srila Prabhupada said, Sanatan Goswami, Hari Bhaktivilas, said, deity worship is for neophytes, and you make big temples and gorgeous work. He said, that's to engage the wealthy people. They can spend their money building gorgeous temples. Of course, it's for everyone. It's specifically for neophytes, so we can actually see the form of the Lord, meditate on the form of the Lord. Then we go home and do our bit, and then we can always remember what Radha Gokulananda were wearing today, lovely peacock outfit, and he was wearing these nice ankle bells and a sash, a blue sash, and you know, you can meditate like that. That's the purpose of the deity. It's almost obligatory for the householders to worship the deity, because that will purify their existence, because the householders are engaged in, you know, worldly affairs, and whereas all the other ashrams are renounced. So specifically for them, but specifically for neophyte people, that means everyone. But it means that, you know, the Goswamis also worship deities, right? They all established deities, and they had good rapport. And Lord Chaitanya also, by his example, in Puri, every day he would visit Jagannath Temple, take darshan. And when he traveled South India, you read the Mahaprabhu's travels in South India, he's going from holy place, temple to temple, temple, like this. So it's not that if one is advanced, one doesn't have to, of course it's not necessary once your relationship is established with Krishna, it's not necessary. But it doesn't mean, you know, advanced people don't worship the deity. We see they do worship the deity, even the Lord. So here it was... And he should be worshipped very gorgeously, like he was there before. He's worshipped too gorgeously, and they could see the temple, top of the temple from Agra. And the rulers at that time, they were a little anti. They didn't like that, so they come and knocked it down, or half of it down, I think, one of it down. But that's the. Deity should be worshipped gorgeously. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the acharyas here are given the examples of how to worship, please Krishna. He should be offered the best. As close as we can get to the kind of worship that goes on in Golok, Vrindavan. Of course, they have natural opulence. The opulence is natural there, but otherwise whatever opulence we have. And the And he's talking about the great qualities of Haridas. It was a head pujari there. And he came in line from Gadadhar Pandit. His guru was a disciple of direct disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. And they all these good qualities like gentle, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, grave, sweet in his words, and sober in his endeavors, respectful to everyone, work for the benefit of all, diplomacy, envy, and jealousy were unknown to his heart. Very nice. For the pure devotees, the 50 qualities of Lord Krishna were all in his body. And so that's why the pure devotees, they become very attractive, because it's going to mention tomorrow, in the next section, from the Bhagavatam, how all the good qualities develop automatically in the body of a devotee. And that's why the devotees become very attractive, because all these nice qualities develop automatically, so then they become very attractive. But we're attractive, you know, that's our experience. The pure devotees are attractive. We like to have their association. And also one thing is that every living entity has these 50 qualities. It means we have them also. But because they're covered by our personal interests, then they can't be manifest properly. So our program and part of our Vaidhi Sadhana is to give up these personal interests from the understanding that, you know, we're actually the servants of Krishna. Do you guys see a point? Nitya Krishna Das, that is our actual constitution. And we're meant to be doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. But generally, we find that we look at, when we go through the day, we're always looking opportunities for comfort, how can I gain from this opportunity, how can I enjoy it? This is natural tendency of the conditioned soul. So that has to be given up, because actually it's, when we view something, look at something with the view to enjoy, the senses say, the mind, senses go on, the mind says yes, this will give you some relief, this will give you some happiness. Then we make a program how to achieve that. That's a conditional state of life. But for the devotees, then we have knowledge of what is actually going on, and that everything is actually for Krishna's enjoyment, and that object or that person, they're actually made for Krishna's pleasure. But we think, how can I enjoy that situation? So it's not very, the mentality is not very conducive to bhakti. We're supposed to be the servants of Krishna and assisting in his enjoyment, but we want to use his property for our enjoyment, because everything belongs to Krishna. I'm Sava Shababa, everything is coming from me, everything belongs to him. Because he doesn't enjoy the material world or material bodies or material things. It's a very inferior quality. But we distinguish like that. We make differences. This is good and this is bad in the material world. Because we don't know the actual standard of good. Although we are good, completely good, the soul is always perfect. Because we're the same quality as Krishna. Except for these few qualities we don't have. He has 64. We have 50. But that's dormant within us, and the love of Krishna is also dormant within us, but we're covered, or that's forgotten. Krishna covers us with forgetfulness. The first covering we get, the false ego, then we forget our real identity as servant of Krishna, and then we identify through this body, through the senses, and then hurry roll in the material world, then you set out to fulfill our desires. This is called the world of Maya. So, when we have knowledge, we can actually appreciate what's going on. And then we can check ourselves, or at least we can try to check ourselves from our normal habit of looking at everything with a view to improve my situation by that. That is actually meant for Krishna service. And when you do that, you actually become peaceful. But because we're doing it for so long, how many births have we been here? No one can say. Some say hundreds and millions. You can't. That's why we call it Nitya Bhara. You can't recall how long we have been conditioned. And so that consciousness is really ingrained in us that, you know, we are this body and then we can, by our endeavors and our intelligence, we can find a nice, comfortable situation and be happy here. And all the species of life are doing it, all the moving species of life, they're all endeavoring like that. And so it doesn't go away overnight just by hearing about it, understanding your position. Doesn't free you from that attachment, which is deep. But at least it's the beginning. At least you know. So knowledge has to be there. Knowledge of this, of what's going on. Otherwise, how we know we're doing the right thing? So this Chaitanya Charitamrita, as well as the explain about the wonderful pastimes of Mahaprabhu, it's very, very deep philosophy also going along with it. And this is said to be the postgraduate study for Vaishnavas. Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary, then Bhagavatam, the graduate, then Chaitanya Charitamrita, the postgraduate. But at the end of the day, when all the studying and learning has been done, the end of the day is you're in the association of devotees, you chant Krishna's names and dance. And when you're tired, you take a little prasadam, then you get more energy and then carry on again. That's what it's all about. that's the conclusion. So we start our day like that, 4 o'clock in the morning. We start with the essence, Shravanam, Kirtan, Smaranam, Krishna. We see the form of Krishna. We're associating with devotees. We're hearing the holy names of Krishna. So that's the perfection. Now, at least for the body anyway. Now that we just have to bring our consciousness in line with everything else. Otherwise, the engagement, when we engage in devotional service, that's the platform of liberation. At least on a bodily platform, the activities are not causing any karma. it's just the consciousness now that has to be trained. It's easy to push the body there, here and there, isn't it? It's easy to do that, but the mind is very slippery. but the mind and the consciousness, they have to follow the example. So, if you're very fortunate, you can do. You can control just by the mind. Otherwise, you control the mind by engaging the senses in the service of Krishna. So we do both. We start at both ends at once. In this, we start from the purifying the senses by engaging in any kind of service, and we purify the consciousness by understanding that we're the eternal servants of Krishna. We're not this material body. So within, and that goes on from the first encounter with the devotees. So the purification goes on all levels, the consciousness, the mind, the intelligence, the mind, and the senses. and to the degree that we surrender, then to the degree that these qualities will be manifest. Or you can say that the covering of the soul, as it gets purified, the false ego gets purified, then this soul becomes more apparent in that person. So therefore they become attractive, because the soul is all attractive. It's a part of Krishna. So therefore a person is pure, it's attractive, right? That's our experience. Because there's not much covering over the soul, and the soul is attractive because it's a part of Krishna, it's all attractive. So that's why it is said that for the materialist, for the karma yogi, then the senses are important. How to enjoy the senses now and more in the future. Then for the jnani, or the yogi, then the soul is more important. Because the soul is the source of the body. in one sense. It's a life, it is the life of the body, right? So that's more important for them. So in that case, then they can give up all kinds of sense gratification. They can renounce the whole world, all their pleasures, for that taste, to taste that Brahman, to taste self-realization. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana, Krishna says, you know, there's no other higher taste than this. I mean, there's nothing to compare with it in the material sense, happiness. So they give up the whole world for that taste. And then, but for the devotees, they can even give up that concept of liberation, complete freedom from the material energy, and the happiness of Brahmanda, because Krishna is the soul of the souls. So if you can give up the material world for 1/10,000th part, the tip of the hair happiness, how much happiness is there in Krishna? Huh? We're only 1/10,000th part, the tip of the hair. Krishna's body and soul are the same thing. So how much pleasure is that? So when you contact Krishna, then you can give up, you can easily give up that concept of liberation, of Brahman realization. It's like the water of a hoofprint in a calf compared with the ocean of happiness in Krishna consciousness, because that is the actual natural constitution. Because we're part of Krishna. And Krishna expands for his pleasure, so we're all part of Krishna, and we're given a separate identity, an individual identity, so that we can increase Krishna's pleasure. Right? The more the devotees, then the more exchanges, the more exaltation. The more the different varieties of tastes. So that's Krishna's business, in enjoying, tasting the exchanges of love with these different devotees. So that's why there's all grades of devotees there. And then we taught the highest principle there is Srimati Radharani, who embodies the Haladini, the pleasure potency. Although Krishna has hundreds and millions of gopis, he says. And each one is a slightly different temperament. Slightly different temperament. So whatever mood Krishna is in, there's a gopi, for instance, gopi, exactly to match his mood. That's intelligence. Exactly to match his mood. But in Srimati Radharani, you'll find she has a whole 360 degrees of moods. She can change from complete left wing to completely submissive to completely in her mind that's completely hard to get. She would go away, Krishna, no chance. So she has all of those. She can display all of the different moods. That's why she's considered the supreme devotee in Madhura Ras. Of course she does. She's considered the embodiment of the Haradini Shakti, because she can please Krishna in any way. And she can match any of his moods. But anyway, the process is so nice. It's chanting the holy name and hearing about Krishna, and associating with those other pure souls, taking prasadam, and doing whatever we have to do to maintain our bodies. It's a very nice program. As Lord Nityananda says, simply Ananda. The process is simply Ananda. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked by an interviewer, what would you do if you found out Krishna wasn't God? Prabhupada said, I wouldn't change anything. He said, because this life is so nice. associating with, saintly people. But of course, Krishna is God. But he was saying how the process is so nice that why would you give up that lifestyle anyway? It's completely in the mode of goodness, relatively speaking. But it's actually transcendental when we're actually doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. So we're very fortunate to have the devotees have come and picked us up somehow or other and brought us to the lotus feet of Radha Gopalananda and Nitai Gaur, so we can enjoy and appreciate our Sangha and the opportunity to engage in devotional service in such a congenial atmosphere. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.